Good morning, folks. It is June the 30th, 2019. Many of you are preparing to strip down to a few junkets of leather and glimpus and glitter and bare your breasts upon yourself and the world as you dance and joyfully prance in a gay pride parade somewhere in America today. Somewhere in America today, you are going to participate and jump and prance and dance and have a good time because I won't be there. I'm just here drinking my coffee, yeah, here in Little Saigon. I will not be at the Gay Pride Parade, not because I'm homophobic, not because I hate gay people, but because I don't quite get it. I really don't quite get it. I think that much of the quote-unquote gay culture is manufactured. I'm pretty certain I know the manufacturer. The chief architect is Lucifer. And while I think what you do with your private parts, especially if it's with consenting adults, is your own fucking business, I don't know why anyone would turn that into a philosophy or a culture. But I can certainly see how turning it into a culture could really fuck up a society. And when I say a culture, I just don't mean gay culture or lesbian culture or queer culture or whatever, LGBTQZXYZ culture. I couldn't give a fuck. I'm talking about the general decline of human culture with respect to sexuality. I think that we've kind of just given up on the notion that there might be appropriate behaviors, and we've sort of accepted the idea that perhaps we're just going to all act like animals or something. And so, yeah, I won't be at the Gay Pride Parade today. On Friday, I had the joy of seeing some very, very unattractive people dressed in far too little clothing, and the clothing they had on was completely ridiculous. I had that joy on Friday. If you want to have that joy, it's your business. You see, the great thing about supporting free speech is even though I won't be at the parade, and I certainly don't really support the parade, I do support their right to do what they're going to do. I mean, if they got the fucking permits or whatever, I don't know. I'm an anarchist. I would support what they were doing if they didn't have any fucking permits. I simply won't be participating. I don't think that my sexual predilections are the basis of a philosophy. And with respect to the persecution of gay people throughout history and Stonewall and that entire story and, you know, the assassination of Harvey Milk and all the other great crises of gay culture, I have to tell you just straight up, yes, it's terrible. It's terrible that gay people have been persecuted. It is terrible. They can add themselves to the list. Everyone has made the list at this point. Every ethnic group, every fucking color, creed, religion has experienced persecution. And sometimes it's brief, and sometimes it's long, and sometimes it only lasts a few decades, and sometimes it lasts millennia. So yeah, it's terrible and it's sad, and still I don't know that I see the basis of a philosophy there. But what I do fear is true, and this is what I think is important. What I do fear is the case is that the whole point of the little propaganda signs at Willy Wonka's talking about LBTQI+, is the plus indicates that, yeah, at some point, I think they're going to tell us that pedophiles are also okay. They're going to normalize pedophilia. And folks, when they normalize pedophilia, and it is coming, it's perhaps not that far away. The only thing that will stop it will be Guy McPherson's abrupt climate disaster of the massive methylhydrate and methane release from the Arctic Circle. If that occurs, then I guess we're protected. But barring that, there will come a day when the nice, decent, warm, woolly, fucking-headed people of places like Seattle, for example, will tell us that even pedophiles need love. I mean, keep in mind, we had a mayor of Seattle that was basically a pedophile. Oh, he wouldn't say that. He probably wouldn't admit to it. But yes, the truth is, there was a mayor of this fucking city who was likely a pedophile, and it's quite recent. And I don't want to say his name, and I don't want to talk about him beyond that. But that's the point, folks. Okay, at some point, they're going to tell us that adults having sex with children is okay. And before you tell me that's crazy, Dan, keep in mind, there were fucking people back in the 80s and the 90s telling you that the government was going to read your fucking emails and listen to your phone calls. And they were probably already doing it to the extent they could. And people like you called them crazy too. And they basically turned out to be right. So before you call me crazy, accept the fact that what sounds crazy today could be perfectly normal in a decade or two. Anyways, this is a dark topic for a Sunday. Today I'm going to be heading to church as I do every Sunday, and I don't know. I think as far as my Christianity goes, I will say this. I am undoubtedly a Christian. I have absolute faith in God. Those things are true. I am a Christian and I have faith in God, but some days I think my sins overwhelm me. I really do. I mean, I don't know what to tell you. Like most of us, I think most of the people on planet Earth right now, in one form or another, are being chased by demons. Now, I know that sounds a little bit crazy, but I don't know that it is. I think we're being chased by demons. I think we're being stalked by the devil. And I think it's a question of both taking ownership and destruction. And some people will say, well, Dan, it's psychological, and you need to talk to a psychiatrist, and the psychiatrist will tell you there are no demons, and there are drugs for every problem, and people are just going crazy because they're not taking the right drugs. You see, this is the problem, folks, is that they keep coming up with all these new illnesses for things that we really didn't worry about 20 or 30 years ago. And I'm not talking about the non-psychological. Let's just focus on the fucking mental issues. They keep coming up with all these fucking illnesses that really never were an issue 20 years ago. And now there are drugs for all of them. Oh, there's my wake-up call. Oh, boy. Yeah. Just in time, buddy, to wake me up, you fucking beans. And the thing is, you don't think that that's beans, and maybe I should switch topics now, because you don't think that's beans. You don't understand how beans can interact with technology. Yeah, so beans is a fuck, and I don't know what to tell you. When I say we're being chased by demons, I think that we're being stalked by demons, and some of these demons are basically, I mean, I don't know what to tell you. I really, really, really do not know what to tell you. I simply, oh God, I think I hear something. Oh, what is that? What is that? Oh, yes, beans. Yes. Yes. Yes, beans. Yes. Yes. Yes, I'll do that. Okay. When? Next weekend? Next weekend? Next weekend. No, I think I can take care of that. Yes, after the 4th. Okay, bye, beans. We'll talk later. So that's my point. I mean, you know, we're all being stalked by demons. I'm being stalked by beans. Beans, of course, is not here in Little Saigon. Beans is in Des Moines, but as all demons, even tiny little fuck demons like Beans, he can project himself through space and time. Most mornings now I wake up to Beans hovering over my bed. He hovers there and he squelches out those terrible noises that drives a human being insane. Yeah, so Beans haunts me. He haunts me. He squelches at me. I don't know how to describe the voice he uses. It's a madness, a crazy, crazy voice. I try to impersonate it. This is the best I can do. It sounds like this. It's basically, it sounds like what a tiny demon would sound like. And as I've stated in the past, undoubtedly and undoubtedly the case that the French bulldog is one millionth of percent dog, and the rest is skunk and rat and Lucifer and metal shavings and broken glass and diesel fuel and sawdust and regret. And that's what a French bulldog is made of. So if you own a French bulldog, you clearly are running to something or from something. Anyways, I think we killed that topic. So I have a company. There's a company picnic coming up. Willy Wonka, the remora. And when I say remora, if you don't know what a remora is a kind of fish. I think they're also called pilot fish sometimes. But a remora is a kind of fish that will attach itself to a shark. A remora is a kind of fish that will attach itself to a large shark and feed off whatever glimbules and globules and sclimbus that the shark leaves behind. That's what a remora is. And in a kind of figurative sense or metaphorical sense or whatever, a lot of these consulting companies that service Facebook and Google and Microsoft and Amazon, and there's hundreds of these little companies who service, basically half a dozen major companies mostly in terms of the pie chart. I work for one of these remora, and this remora has a really catchy name. I don't know if I want to repeat it. I don't think I will. But I'll tell you, the name is a lot like Rivery. Yes, Rivery. Imagine a consulting company named Rivery. And essentially, it's like the word river with an apostrophe and a Y. And like you can imagine the guys who formed this fucking remora consulting company to service Microsoft and Amazon. They're sitting by a river someplace that's been horribly polluted, and they're staring at their little fucking glowing rectangles, and they're drinking their fucking Pinot Noir, and they're saying to themselves, wouldn't a great name for a consulting company be Rivery? Yeah, so anyways, there's a company picnic coming up, and Rivery, the company I work for that services Willy Wonka's, they're having a joint Rivery Willy Wonka picnic on Lake Sammamish. And there's going to be alcohol, which means, yeah, Uncle Dan's going to get drunk. And it's going to be alcohol starting at 10 a.m. So you can imagine the state of the human race now that we're having these kinds of fucking picnics. So Uncle Dan will be drinking early that fucking July, the whatever the fuck a butt, when we have the fucking picnic. Uncle Dan will probably begin drinking about 6 a.m. that day. And he'll wake up and he'll say to himself, "My God, today is the company picnic day." Today is company picnic day, and it's my day to fucking hang out with people from Willy Wonka's and Rivery. It's gonna be awesome. And I wake up on that special day, and I put on my frickin' Plancy pants, my fucking swimmer's pants, my Glibulous t-shirt that's barely melted. I put on my Glombas shoes, and I fucking make my way to the fucking bus system. It's a horribly hot day. There have been several fires. Well, frankly, the entire West Coast is supposed to catch fire this summer. And on this special day, as I'm carrying my bottle of oxygen so I can breathe out and belt out a few gloplets of air as I gasp and I croak as a fish dying on the sidewalk that's been tossed out of its fucking aquarium. And I get on the number 7 or the number 14, number 36. Oh, it's a 106. I take the 106 and I take the 106 down to the 45 and the 45 to the 313. And then I get on the 112 to the 225 and after the 56 to the 14, I get on the 222. And then I jump off the 222 and I'm at fucking Lake Sammamish. I finished off the distillate that I got at Uncle Ike's, so I've got about, I don't know, a gram of pure fucking THC cannabis sativa hybrid flowing through my bloodstream. And I'm making my way to the cocktail tent. And I'm gonna have myself a margarita supreme. I say, cocktail man from Rivery, make me a margarita supreme, but don't be stingy on the fucking Bacardi. And so he makes me a margarita supreme, and it's really, really tasty. Yeah, so I have my margarita supreme. I have one, I have two. Perhaps I have three. Dare I say, could I have four? One cannot tell. Only Beans, the French bulldog, is aware of the facts that deal with the cases of having margarita supremes at 10 a.m. on a, you know, Tuesday or a Wednesday or a Thursday morning in late July, as the skies are turning a brownish-yellow glow, and you know that the Blue Ocean event is only maybe days away. You know that maybe Guy McPherson is right. Yeah, he seems like an angry, mean old fuck, but he might be right. He seems intelligent enough, and he could be right. So, yeah, you're there, you're drinking your third margarita supreme as you stare up at the beautiful yellow-brown skies, and you breathe in the strontium and other radioactive materials that are being basically burnt and smoked off in the California wildfires. That state of California is basically one giant toxic waste dump now. Yeah, so anyways, I'm on my fifth margarita supreme and an idea occurs to me and I think to myself, Dan, will somebody loan you their fucking smart device or tablet for 5 minutes at this fucking picnic because everyone's fucking toasted. Yeah, so everyone's really toasted, and I borrow a fucking Apple fucking tablet, fucking iPad, whatever the fuck it is. I don't care. I run Linux, you fuck. And I grab their fucking tablet, and I look at a fucking Google Map view of Lake Sammamish and where we're at, and I discover that the Sammamish River does indeed connect Lake Sammamish to Lake Washington, and I know as a great mariner of the ancient times that Lake Washington's connected to Lake Union. And Lake Union's connected to the Puget Sound through the fucking locks. And guess what? It's free jet ski time. And I've got $300 in my fucking wallet. And I mean cash, you fuck. So I get my fifth... my eighth Margarita Supreme. And I'm staring at the jet ski, realizing that the brown skies above are nothing but a form of toxic bullshit, and more of it is going to come. Why don't I escape? Yeah, so why don't I escape from this bullshit, you know, and go and get on the fucking jet ski? I'm certain I'd have enough fuel to get to perhaps the opening of the Sammamish River at Lake Washington, and then I'll hit the marina there. But first I gotta get on the jet ski, and I get on it, and I cruise away with a Margarita Supreme in one hand and a marijuana joint in the other. As I use my feet to fucking control the fucking jet ski, it's crazy. Everyone's yelling, "Dan, stop, stop." Even Beans in his fucking amorphously strange, blobulous form of ghostiness is arriving above me and squealing out his fucking voice, going, "Go back, Dan. Don't turn back. Turn back. This was unplanned. This was unplanned bullshit, Dan. This is not planned." Yeah, so this is unplanned bullshit, and I'm heading out on the jet ski with a Margarita Supreme in one hand, with a joint in my other hand on the wheel, and I'm going up Lake Sammamish, and then I fucking hit the river, and it's a little tough, folks, because this fucking Sammamish River is not a thoroughly navigable, you know, waterway, but I'm on the jet ski, and people are screaming, and they're saying, "Stop. What are you doing?" There are canoe people and kayak people flipping me off, and I flip them off with my Margarita Supreme in one hand and my jet ski under my control of my left hand, and I'm just flipping people off and fucking whatever. Yeah, so anyways, I get to my first checkpoint. Because I'm almost out of fuel. These fucking jet skis, it's really a ski-doo. It explains the fact that I can sit on my ass and do. So I take the ski-doo and I'm at my first checkpoint. The marina dude's a little squirrely. He says, "Hey, buddy, what are you doing? Fueling up your fucking ski-doo?" And I say, "Yeah, Gumbus McGee, take the fucking super unleaded 12, fill it up. Here's your fucking cash," and I crumple 100 and I throw it at his head and it bounces off. But the problem is, I can hear the cops and so can he. I was only one step ahead. And so the fuel tank is filled, I put the cap on, I hurriedly take the fucking, you know, fuel fucking hose and put it on the dock, and I you know, hit the man over the head with a rock so he cannot reveal information about me. That was probably superfluous violence, but fuck. And I head to the locks. Now, I know that getting through the locks is going to be tough because, A, I'm on a ski-doo, and B, I'm on the run. Now I'm being chased by Coast Guard and sheriffs. Sheriffs on boats. They're firing their shotguns and their chain guns and their proton cannons, and I'm simply drinking my super margarita and just flipping them off. And as I head to the locks, I realize that there's a group of fucking Coast Guard and fucking Sheriff's Department boats. They've cordoned off the area. They're on a fucking loudspeaker. They're saying, "Stop, Dan, stop." They're yelling, "Stop, Dan, stop. Stop, Dan, stop." And I head, I can't stop. And I see, I don't know why, it's almost as if literally, figuratively, magically, the Fonzie had placed a jump the shark ski ramp right next to the fucking locks, directly pointing at the open ocean. I could theoretically jump the locks on my ski-doo if I could reach 145 miles per hour. Now, of course, you're going to say, "Dan, how could you do that on a ski-doo? That speed is barely achievable by the fucking hydroplane boats, speedboats." And I would say, you know, maybe you don't understand the deeper mechanics of the hydrological frequencies and frictionalizations of the deep philosophy of the Hobo Kingdom. And so, yeah, we go ahead, and I go ahead, and I say we because clearly, if I'm stealing skidoos and drinking super margaritas while trying to outrun the fucking authorities, I must have more than one identity inside of me. But yeah, anyways, I take the skidoo and I turn around about, 500 feet, and then I get ready, I juice her up. You can hear the engine revving, and I know I have one chance in hell of hitting that jump just right and jumping the locks and making it to the open ocean. And once I do, I'll have to fuel up again. This is the tough part. I'll need fuel, but it's better that I just have a little bit of fuel. I want to be light. I want to be light on this. I have just enough fuel, and I begin to rev up the engine, and I'm heading towards that fucking jump. To jump the Crittenden locks, to escape Seattle's bullshit and the brown skies, the skies of death. And so, yeah, I'm nearing 140 miles an hour on the ski-doo, and I hit the fucking ramp, and I'm soaring through the sky, and they fire their M16s and their M60s and their flamethrowers at me, and their fucking laser cannons and their millimeter wave crowd dispersal devices, and I'm doing okay. And I actually still I'm still holding on to my super margarita. As I sail through the sky, as I coast through the sky at incredible speeds, I'm still holding on to my super margarita. So, anyways, folks, the point is, I think that at the company picnic, I am extremely likely to, it's extremely possible that I will steal a ski-doo and attempt to escape to the Puget Sound and then to Canada. Of course, it'll be a futile gesture of bullshit. Not nearly as interesting as, La Excavadora Blindada, the situation of the armored bulldozer, but, I think it's, Heemeyer, right? Guy Heemeyer, or anyways. Yeah. It won't be like La Excavadora Blindada, but it will be a gesture of futility that will probably get me killed, and it'll be like Dan went crazy, and if he'd only stayed on the new Blimbusex XT extended capsule for people with brain issues, he would have been fine. But instead, he's self-medicated with marijuana and wine. He could have taken our pharmaceutical drugs and he would have been okay, but instead he spent his days, I'm gonna stop there. That topic's dead. So I have a bump on my head, and I'm telling you this because it's there. I have this weird bump on my head. Now, if people ask me, like I was getting my a haircut at Willy Wonka's. Willy Wonka's is like its own microcosm community. It has its own food. It has its own barber shops. I was at the Willy Wonka barber shop getting my Willy Wonka head chopped off, my hair chopped off. And the stylist was using the cutting tools and she hits a little bump and she's, "Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry." And it's like, "Don't worry about it. That's there. That's from North Korea." And she looked at me, "What do you mean? I mean, that bump is from North Korea." And she says, "That's crazy. You sound crazy." But actually, here's the story. So, and I believe, I want to say this was October, sometime in the autumn or November maybe, but sometime in the autumn of 1997, when I was stationed in South Korea, I was on one of these, command staff tours of the DMZ. Let's walk the battlefield, let's drive up and down Area 1, look at terrain, blah, blah, blah. And so we were at the DMZ, and after the DMZ, we got to explore a few of the tunnels that get discovered every once in a while. So, the North Koreans have been tunneling underneath the DMZ forever, like since during the Korean War and after. And we've found several, but they think there are several we don't know about. Anyways, one of the ones they found that they actually filled with water, they would let people, go down into. I don't mean ordinary people. This wasn't a fucking tour you go on from the fucking cruise ship. But they would let, us army officers explore it a little. And I was going down to this tunnel to the entrance of it, and I got down a certain point, and it's really, really a low ceiling. And I'm not super tall, but I'm about almost 6 feet, and it was a very, very, low ceiling, and I hit my head on the ceiling. And it got infected. So this is a tunnel that was dug by the North Koreans, and I hit my head on the ceiling of the tunnel. So from my perspective, and then it got infected. And the thing is, it got really gross. It like became this huge, gigantic fucking boil on my head. It was horrible. This giant fucking bump. So I go to the fucking doctor, medic, whatever. We have witch doctors in the army. And the witch doctor takes out a modeling knife and some whiskey and pours it on my head and lances the boil and squeezes out the pus so it explodes like a caldera volcano of bacteria and white glism all over the room. And then he pours more whiskey to wash it off and he says, "Okay, you're fine." So I have a not quite properly healed boil on my head that's been there since 1997. And I'm okay with that. FYI, I don't give a fuck. If Honey Badger don't care, guess what? I don't give a fuck either. But if you want to know, yes, I have a bump on my head from North Korea. And I don't give a fuck. Fuck 'em. Do we have time for one more topic? I don't know. So the last topic is kind of a let's look up something first and give a proper definition before we go off half-cocked. And so I'm going to do that really quick here. I'm going to look it up online and give you the quote-unquote one right answer that Eric Schmidt always talks about. Okay. Counterparty risk. And this is a good one, folks. And I knew the definition, but I basically want to give you the quote-unquote Investopedia definition that Google says is the right answer. Counterparty risk is the likelihood or probability that one of those involved in a transaction might default on its contractual obligation. Counterparty risk can exist in credit investment and trading transactions. So, folks, here's something you need to understand. And I don't care if you're like a crypto zealot or a weirdo fucking investor type who day trades. I don't give a fuck who you are and how you're making money off of the financial schemes. From my perspective, America or the economy of America is really casino America. It is exactly, I mean, that's why I think Vegas, when I went to Vegas a few years ago, I think that's why Vegas made me sick to my stomach because I realized that Vegas was merely an exaggeration of America. That's all. It wasn't that it was radically different. It was that it was radically so much the same. Same shit, same grossness, same stickiness, same flim flam, same crookedness, same bullshit, same shiny fucking outer shell of crapola, just like America. Vegas and America had essentially become the same, whereas Vegas is merely the exaggeration. So I don't give a fuck how you're gaming the system. If you're flipping houses, day trading, holding on to fucking crypto Furbies, I don't give a fuck. But what you all need to understand is there will come a point in the future, and it ain't that fucking far off, when our good old friend counterparty risk will make your fucking day terrible, even if you're fucking only holding Bitcoin and gold and silver. And this is the funny thing that people say, well, gold and silver don't have counterparty risk. Au contraire, mon frère. On a basic level, you're right. There is no counterparty risk to the value of gold or silver. However, if you want to use your gold and silver, you have to have this thing functioning around you called society and a community. And I don't mean government, oh, by the way. I mean the opposite of that bullshit. I don't mean the crocodile. I mean actual people voluntarily working together to solve problems, to trade, to engage in commerce. I mean a society. You want your gold and silver to work to buy food and water? I hate to break it to you. You're gonna need a fucking society functioning, and even that could fail. But what I'm certain of is before we get to that point, all those other sides of the transactions, the other side of the crypto, the other side of your stock investment, the other side of your fucking housing scheme, all those other sides are going to crash. All the derivatives, all the credit default swaps. Modern investment theory, current contemporary investment theory, is based on the argument, and it's not just dollar cost averaging, it's based on the argument that whereas some things will fail, everything can't fail at once. That's just not possible. And if everything did, the government will solve it by just printing fucking money. That's the current theory of how investing works. You cannot fail. As long as you buy and hold for a long time, something of value will keep going up in value. Yeah, there's little gullies and yeah, there's little dips, but you're fine. What I'm telling you is you're not fine. What modern banking theory has managed to do in 100 years is ratchet us up on a stepladder. Whereas we were once 12 feet above the ground, now the human race is about 100,000 feet above the ground, and there is no fucking net. There is no parachute. There is nothing below us. That is what modern banking theory, modern investment theory, modern economic theory has done for us. They've left us on a stepladder about 100,000 feet in the air. And yeah, there is no going down. There is no stepping backwards. You're going to fall if you do. So you have to keep going up until you explode. Folks, counterparty risk may seem like an abstract thought, process, conversation, topic, idea. It really, really isn't. It's this notion that no matter how perfect you think you are, and you may say to yourself, I'm the most perfect fucking penny in a crooked economy. Sure, Elon Musk is bullshit, and Microsoft is bullshit, and Amazon is bullshit, and the whole fucking economy is bullshit, but I'm the one true, honest person. I'm the one John Galt. Listen up, motherfucker. We all work for the fucking crocodile in this shitbird economy. I don't care how clean you think your hands are. I don't care how debt-free you want to say you are. Even you fuck, have counterparty risk, and you don't even want to accept it because you live in a fucking fantasy world. Wake up, buddy. Counterparty risk in a human society ultimately means. It really, really does mean that there will be participants in your economic relationships who will fail to deliver. It ultimately means that the system that you depend upon to accept your gold or silver or Bitcoin simply won't work. There'll be nobody on the other side of that transaction. Everyone will be broke. So I don't give a fuck how much ammo you've stacked or gold you've stacked or Bitcoin you've hodled. If the other side of a necessary transaction for food, water, or shelter has nothing but hunger and desperation, then it doesn't matter, dude. You too suffer from counterparty risk. You see, that's the essential nature of a truly free society, is that we depend upon each other being capable of statistically, not perfectly, but mostly being able to participate in stable transactions. I don't mean perfectly. If you're seeking perfection, you're seeking the crocodile. You should go fuck yourself. I mean sustainably. So yeah, you'll still have people default in a free society, but it won't be some massive fucking credit crisis that causes the entire world economy to crash. It won't destroy a whole community. There will be people that get hurt, but it won't be everybody. We have so ratcheted up the financial system that quite literally counterparty risk means that no one can fail ultimately. Everyone has to, at least on paper, seem to succeed. Otherwise, the system fails. And if you think that's going to work, if you think the system can continue like that, you know, I was going to say God bless you, but really, I think you're living in a fantasy world. Ultimately, if you want your wealth to have value, you have to have people in your community who can trade with you. If they won't trade with you, then you might as well be in a castle under siege. And folks, from a strategic standpoint, that's a shitty place to be. Anyways, I feel like I've killed this issue of counterparty risk, and I've kind of beaten up on a few things that people assume are the case. Well, if you're debt-free, you'll be fine. If you have gold and silver, you'll be fine. Folks, there are no safe havens. I know you want to believe in safe havens. I know that people came along and told you, like beans in the night telling you there are safe havens. There are no safe havens. There are no safe haven investments. There are no safe haven places. There's no place. There's no magical place you're going to be safe. So that's all I'm saying. If you want safety, ultimately, the only way that human beings can avoid calamity, and at this point I think it may be unavoidable, is to participate in healthy, dignified, free societies. Healthy, dignified, peaceful, and free societies. Societies that are not ruled, societies that are cooperative. And if there's anything going on, it's leadership, not ruling, which means people have influence, but it's not based on a crocodile or a cop or a marine or a bomb. But it's based upon respect and logic and reason and understanding. There is a healthy way in which humans could live, and then there's a fucked up way we live now. And I don't want perfection. You know, the funny thing about my idealism is it's not based on perfection. It's based on the opposite. The acceptance that we're not perfect. So why the fuck would we pick anybody to ever be the spokesman of the crocodile? And why would we have a crocodile? Anyways, on that thought, with those thoughts in mind, I have to get ready for church. I guess I've had enough coffee to not sound too doggedly broken, but I hope you have a great Sunday, and, you know, remember, Beans is out there. Every night, remember that somewhere out there in the night, Beans is there watching you, making sure you're going to be okay. Beans is out there in the night watching. Remember that. Remember. He's out there screaming into the night. He's out there. Beans is out there. Yes, Beans. Yes. Yes. Yes, we will get it done. We'll get it done next weekend, Beans. We'll get taken care of. We promise. No one will find the body, Beans. No one. No one will find the body, Beans. Yes. We will bury it. Bury it out. Yes. Somewhere in Ballard.